KPU came to an agreement on how to address the output of Whitman and allow KPU to use that and allow us not to run afoul with our bond covenants. And I think we found a way to do it. It may not be the most elegant, certainly practical, and keeps us clear with our Wall Street bankers, which we want to do. So I think I'm going to reserve most other discussion on the PSA for later today. I'll spend a little time on the indenture of trust that the agency has, because that's an item that we're going to be discussing later in terms of financing. So in order, when, in 2009, when the agency restructured itself and Kodiak and Copper Valley left the agency, at that time, SEPA borrowed some additional money, and that money was used to help pay off Copper Valley to exit the agency, and I think we took a little bit of extra money for capital projects assumed at the time. And we went out to Wall Street, sold some bonds, got a rating, and had an indenture at that point. There are limits on how much you can refinance bonds. And in 2015, we were able to refinance a portion of those bonds and reduce our interest rate. And we did that. And we did that again in the same way. We went, hired an investment banking firm. They marketed the bonds for us, and we did our own bond issue. Between 2015 and now, the agency was able to go to the legislature and get an amendment to the bond bank statutes to allow for a joint action agency owned by three municipalities to participate in the Alaska Bond Bank. So the Alaska Bond Bank goes out at least annually, if not more, and gathers up all these municipalities, special purpose districts, and the like, and goes out, packages them up, and sells these bonds on the market, and has a really much lower transactional costs, much lower legal costs, and gets a better bond rate all at once. So we're in the process right now, and that will be on the agenda later, to review that with you, to participate, to refinance the last tranche of bonds that were issued in 2009. And with that, we'll be completed with all the covenants that came in 2009 that applied to the agency. So we look on that favorably. It'll reduce your interest rate, save you some money, and give the agency a little more flexibility in how it operates and treats new projects in the hierarchy. So our bylaws, I'm kind of skipping around, but I'm going to wait on that. So we also have a current operation maintenance agreement with KPU that applies to Swan Lake. In 2014, prior to 2014, we had a operations and maintenance agreement to operate TAI with a interlocal agency comprised of the boroughs of Wrangell and Petersburg, and that went away, and SEPA took over operations at TAI. I think another, at least for discussion, we have another proposal that SEPA is going to propose to take over the operations at Swan as well, and so the long-term O&M agreements will go away, because SEPA will take on the operations and maintenance of both of its projects. So a little bit about our bylaws. The bylaws really provide a roadmap for key board decisions. So, for instance, in order to change anything on behalf of the agency in the power sales agreement, there needs to be a unanimous vote of the board. In order to change the firm power obligations, which I was just referencing, in other words, in order to move a new project ahead of SEPA, you need 5 votes of the agency. In order to withdraw as a member, you need 5 votes of the board. Plus, you would need approval of all the member utilities through the Joint Action Agency. Couple other. Do you want me to go through dedicated and additional dedicated power here?
Just give it a real high level, and we'll delve into the details later.
Got it. So, a couple of the core provisions of the power sales agreement is that SEPA is obligated to deliver all its output to its member utilities. All output from SWAN, in the first instance, is dedicated to serving the firm power requirements of Ketchikan. That's one of the first provisions of the power sales agreement, section 1. All output from Tai Lake in the first instance is dedicated to serving the firm power requirements of the interconnected utilities, Petersburg and Wrangell. The interconnected utilities, Petersburg and Wrangell, there's no allocation between them in the power sales agreement. So they're essentially one entity under the power sales agreement. And, you know, there's been discussions in the past, should there be an allocation of that, what comes out of there. And, you know, as these things go, we generally don't make a change to that. And it's a very difficult discussion. And there was a reason not to allocate it at the time. That was a good reason. And I think that good reason still holds. So anything other than the dedicated resource in the two reservoirs that's produced by the agency is called additional dedicated power. And the additional dedicated power is made available to any member utility at the agreed upon wholesale power rate. And typically that additional dedicated power is purchased by Ketchikan. Wrangell and Petersburg aren't in the market for buying additional power. The firm power dedicated estimate made in the operations plan is usually sufficient to provide Wrangell and Petersburg their annual needs every year. As part of the power sales agreement and the way the dedicated, additional dedicated resources are managed on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis is the approval of the operations plan. There's an operations plan requirement in the power sales agreement. That operations plan is a mandate to the agency that you've got to estimate each of the member utilities' needs every year and what those firm power requirements are. And the result of that is you end up pretty much determining what will be additional dedicated. And the agency's obligated in the first instance, and that's a key term in the power sales agreement that I've spent a lot of time thinking about over the last month, to provide in the first instance to provide that firm power to each member utility with a dedicated right to the resource. After that first instance, the agency makes a determination if there's additional dedicated power available to sell, as always, I mean, we don't say it, but as always, to Ketchikan. That's our buyer who gets the right to sell it. The benefit of that is that Ketchikan gets to buy all the excess output at 6.8 cents great deal, especially compared to the diesel rate. And the agency gets the benefit of them purchasing that at 6.8 cents, which ends up bringing down the entire cost of operating the agency, operating the facilities, and it's worked out really well that way, that, you know, we get the efficiency, we're able to sell all the output, they're able to buy all the output, and everybody's cost goes down. So the last point I'm going to make here is your role as board members. And you are appointed by your towns, the member utilities, as the PSA calls you, purchasing utilities, to serve on the board of the Southeast Alaska Power Agency. And when you sit here, you know, the agency understands that you have a lot of different interests as you come here. Some of you work for your towns. Some of you are simply volunteers. And everybody appreciates the volunteers who come and spend their time here. But as you sit here, you are board members of the Southeast Alaska Power Agency, and you owe a fiduciary duty to this agency and to put your interests, put the agency's interests above any other interest as you sit here. Now, does that mean you can't consider what's going on in your towns? It's impossible to do that. I mean, I totally recognize that. It's difficult to take your local hat off and only put the interests of this agency. And a fiduciary duty is something that is expected. The duty of exercising good faith and putting the interests of the agency ahead of all else is something that is expected of a reasonable person. It's not an impossible highest level that you have to meet. It's just what a reasonable person sitting in your position would do. And that's what each of you have to consider. How would a reasonable person balance all these interests? Part of that is a duty of loyalty to the agency. Part of that is a duty of confidentiality. The agency has adopted the Alaska Open Meetings Act, or has provisions in the bylaws that essentially mimic the Open Meetings Act. And so when we have executive sessions, we try and keep them to the typical reasons that you're used to at your municipalities. The agency adopted a set of internal policies that allow disclosure of certain materials similar to the Public Records Act of the state. It's not exact, but we try to do that. So, you know, there is some level of confidentiality that we have, and that's part of your duty as a board member. And I think with that, if anyone has any questions, happy to take them, but it's kind of a lot of information, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions?
We're going to delve into the power sales agreement a bit more, but initially when the power sales agreement was written, there was no intertie, correct? My own recommendation. When the power sales agreement was written, there was no intertie.
When the power sales agreement was written, the intertie was under construction, and it was anticipated.
Okay.
And I'll just, as one example, if it's okay, the we had a main charge, and I think, Carl, it may be you and I, you were involved in it as on the city side, but we may have been the only ones at the time, but the charge of the agency and the utilities at the time was to draft something as close to the original one as possible, keeping in mind that there was going to be an intertie. The prior long-term power sales agreement did not have an operations plan requirement. That's new.
Okay. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you. Anybody else? Moving on then. Thank you, Joel. To item 7, work session, reason 2018 operating and containment review. The purpose of the work session is to study and discuss issues related to the CEPA's 2018 operation and containment review. No action will be taken during this session, and the public is invited to attend and will have the opportunity to address the board prior to the start of the work session. So we're at that position. Is there anybody in the public that wishes to address the board in regards to before we move into the work session? Anybody online? Seeing none, then we'll go ahead and recess into our work session. That brings us to, I guess, item A, and that's a review of the power sales agreement. Trey?
So we have packets.
We have packets available.
Yep.
So if you work it.
Mike's
okay. So if you, those of you in the room, there's an envelope with the paperwork for the work session in it. So as we move along, you can review it with those documents. And there is an the meeting objectives are here, and then there's an agenda that goes along with it. And then there are some optional topics. So, Trey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, we thought it would be good to have a work session to have, yeah, I guess, a little bit freer flowing conversation on some of the issues and regarding CEPA's operations plan and curtailment review. And we've also wrapped in a financial discussion. So we put this agenda together to just help us kind of guide us through and kind of keep us on track so we don't get too far off in the weeds. Certainly, these aren't the only topics we can discuss. I just thought it would be helpful for folks. The way we structured the agenda is to try to give a historical perspective on how we got to where we're at today, just to kind of lay the groundwork. So I think that there's a clear understanding of where we are today and possibly some considerations of how we might approach things in the future. And I guess it's probably important to note too, I mean, this is just a continuation of conversations that have been going on for literally months. And it's just to kind of get everybody, make sure everybody's on the same page. And we don't have to come to final decisions on things. And of course, just a reminder, we can't take any official action in this work session anyway. So it would have to be moved into under new business or the like. On the financial portion of the agenda, as noted earlier, there is a executive session planned if the board wishes to convene an executive session to talk through any of those financial aspects. That's totally up to the board. So if it's okay, Mr. Chair, I would like to have Robert start a historical review and kind of lay the groundwork for deeper discussions. And we'll stop after every section, or you can insert and ask questions along the way if you like. But we want to make sure we get open up the floor for the board's input and discussion along the way. That's, I think, a very important aspect of today's exercise.
So before we move into Robert's presentation, is there anything that any of the board members would like to add? All right, Robert.
Good morning, thank you. I got a quick question
Robert, excuse me for a minute. Is there somebody online? I keep hearing somebody. If you would please, if you're online with the phone, would you please mute? Not necessarily go on hold, but to mute so that we don't get the music. Thank you. What's that? Yes.
Jeremy Brown, PPU Electric. Quick question for you. Is this work session open for questions from us sitting out here, or is this only for the board members?
What's that?
At the beginning, they have an opportunity.
We have an opportunity here at the beginning. But it would be up to the board members if they decide that they want to add additional comments from the public.
Okay. Thank you.
I leave that to the discretion of the board.
And then one other clarification that I was trying to get is the rule of order on, do we go through the chair for questions or do we go through, is this more of a informal type discussion?
This is more informal, so you can have discussion between yourself.
Okay, perfect. I think Trey kind of summed it up a little bit. Really the intent here of these first three agenda items is to go over how SEPA interprets the power sales agreement, how did we develop the operations plan and why, how we operate to that operations plan, and then if there is something that we can do better, that's the intent of this discussion. So at the very end, we'll talk about future management guidelines. So if we can do it better, we want to do it better. And that's why we're here today, I think. And that's why we wanted to do an open forum so that we all had a chance to talk without going through the chair and talk across